Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and you're listening to KCIW, your community radio station. You know, we're in the midst of a pretty strange time. For most, probably all of us, our lives have been severely disrupted. The economy is in tatters, and the acrimony between the left and the right has become so intense that civility and empathy seem to no longer have a place in our interactions with each other. The great divide between us and them seems to just keep growing wider, fueled by anger and fear on both sides. The logical result is a community further divided, further alienated from anyone not in our own tribe, and increasingly fragile. We're each convinced that our perception of reality is the truth, and therefore anyone who doesn't share it is just plain wrong. But like a giant beach ball made up of unlimited slices of color, what you see all depends on where you're standing. My hope is that this show can help all of us see the other colors by first being willing to entertain the possibility that they exist and learn that there might be some worth in listening to a perspective different than our own. I believe that willingness to include all of us in the discussion will lead to a stronger, more resilient community, something we all want and need. Please join me for my conversations with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, a new series called Building Bridges. Hi, and welcome to our sixth show in the series Building Bridges that I have the privilege to do with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper. How are you doing today, Jake?
I'm doing good, Candace. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, too. You know, it's a little foggy out there, which is, you know.
It is a little foggy.
Yeah, it was
time,
a little.
Time of year. We're going to start
cool.
Seeing it more. Yeah, a little cool.
Right? And, yeah. And funny, but I'm not ready.
I know. I'm slipping into a crater of depression thinking about summer just kind of wrapping up, man. Holy smokes.
I know. And you know, I know that it's silly, but when we actually reach September 21st, and that's the autumnal equinox, and it means that the days are really getting shorter, I start freaking out because I love the light. I just love the light. It's a quarter after seven right now, and I'm looking out my front window, and it's light out there.
Right.
And that's the way I want it to always be.
I know.
Always at 7 o'clock at night, I want it to be light. Yeah, I just don't, I don't do well with, you know.
It just sucks. Straight
up. Yeah. It really does. And and I was talking to you before about the monarch butterflies. Well, they're caterpillars at this point. But I think I've got about 35 of them at this point that I'm raising. And I've got a couple of different cages that are net cages that you raise them in so that they, when they get big enough to go into their chrysalis, they can crawl up the net cage and then hang from the top of the cage in their chrysalis. But I'm actually glad that it's kind of foggy and cool because they're out on my front porch, my glassed in front porch, and you know, they get a little, it gets hot out there and I don't want them to cook, you know. That would be really sad. 35 cooked caterpillars, that would not be a good thing.
So I know we talked about this before we started recording, but you have to repeat that you told me that you can hear the caterpillars chewing.
Oh, God.
When you...
And it's the truth, Jake, I swear. I'm not making this up, right? But so last year, I was raising, I think I had about 150 that I finally ended up tagging and releasing as butterflies.
Wow.
When they, yeah, that's a lot. And the thing about monarch caterpillars is they will only eat milkweed. So if you've brought them inside to raise them or, you know, on a porch or whatever, you have to put them in an enclosure so that they're safe and they won't just go crawling all over the place. But you also have to make sure that they have fresh milkweed, like constantly, right? And when they reach right before they go into the chrysalis, they are about as big as my pinky. I mean, they're sizable, right?
Yeah,
and they eat their weight in milkweed. I mean, that's no joke. It's really not a joke. So if you're keeping them and you have 150 of them, you know, you have to keep going out into your yard and clipping milkweed and bringing it in. And then, of course, what goes in one end comes right out the other end, right? And you have to clean that up because you don't want them crawling around in their frass, as it's called. So, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a full-time job, actually. Holly Beyer calls it going on maternity leave because she can't do anything else during those months. You know, it's time intensive. But anyway, so I'd be out on the front porch last year and, you know, it'd be 9 o'clock at night and everything was pretty quiet and, you know, it was dark except for the lights I had and stuff. You can hear them eating. They are chomping on the milkweed and you can hear it. Seriously.
That's it's pretty like gnarly.
It's like a horror film come to life. You know? Caterpillars are chomping. They're right behind you. They're coming for you. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. But also just so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cool.
I saw a video of your kids releasing that butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
That was so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something.
That was
sweet.
Yeah. I think that when my sister passed in January, Holly Beyer had a couple of swallowtails, I think, that had been in chrysalis for something like 18 months, which is a long time. But evidently, that's how long they do it. And one had come out, had eclosed. And so she named it for my sister.
Mm.
It's really nice. Mm. All right. So we got way far afield. But yeah, but it's all good information for any of you out there in radio land who are raising monarch butterflies.
Because it's
fun. Oh boy, I really went far. butterfly talk. I know. So for those of you who are just tuning in, I want to let you know that these shows grew out of a desire to heal some of the divisiveness in the community. And Mayor Pieper and I have had a somewhat contentious relationship in the past. And see ourselves as having stances on things that are just about as opposite from each other as it's possible to be. And that may be true, but what I think we've both discovered when we took the time to actually just talk to each other as human beings is that we share a lot of stuff as well. And we certainly share things like the love that we have for our families and a commitment to the health and well-being of our community. And I think it's out of that awareness that we've begun the work of building a bridge between us. And the hope is that some of our listeners will also start to see the benefit of that and start building some bridges of their own. So that brings us to this week. So we talked a little bit last week about government here and in the city and how to make people's voices heard better and maybe give people a heads up early on in developments and issues so that, you know, they can make their wishes known and all that stuff. And we were just really kind of building up a head of steam when Tom said,
pull the plug.
You've only got 4 minutes. Yeah. I was like, okay then. And I do want to be able to, you know, give us that opportunity to kind of talk more about that. But seems like there's a pretty big issue up right now with Dawson Track. So you talked about it on your chat last night, and I thought it was great. But, you know, you might want to
Yeah. You might want to actually have a conversation about it.
Actually converse about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That helps. And I, you know, it helps me also, you know, to really get the information out and to be able to speak clearly. It helps having, you know, it's natural. It's supposed to be this way, right? Talking.
Right. Talking and I could actually ask you a question.
Yeah.
Rather than typing like a mad woman and you don't see it for 20 seconds.
I know. Yeah. That's how that goes. Jeez. And that's okay. We can talk about Dawson. I mean, it's really kind of the subjects go hand in hand, you know, it's really one and the same, just great big subject.
Right.
So I don't know, where do you want to start? You listened to my chat.
I did. So I thought that you gave a really good explanation. And so what I got from it was that there had to be something that was a violation of the way that land was supposed to be used before you could take action, right? I mean, if it kept to the intent or the...
Well, that's a good... see, there you go, conversing. It made something pop right in my head. Bingo.
And I saw it pop.
Did you...
Lost the top of your head.
Oh wow!
I know.
Rapping, I'm gonna have to.
Hurry up, before it runs out the door.
Well, I'm gonna have to change something up because I don't like people being able to read my cards, man. That's not good. So the question of should something be built somewhere? That's the question that the public is asking and answering themselves. And that's the question that a lot of folks over two different Mondays were really asking of the council is should this go there? When in reality, the question is, and this is really what you said, is what someone wants to do with their piece of property, is it legally permissible? Does it violate any laws or any rules? That's the question. It's not if it should go there, if it's a good idea, if it, you know, there's a lot of opinions and, you know, whether or not it's a decent business and, you know, market study. And I mean, all of that, that's not the question. The question is, are they violating any laws or codes in putting this there? Are they legally able to do that?
Because if they are legally able to do that, if you don't let them do that, aren't you in violation?
Yeah, it would be overturned. You know, if we made, we can't just do whatever we want. And especially with land action, land use and stuff, it would easily be overturned.
And who would, I mean, how would that, well, that would get appealed to?
It would need to be appealed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously if no one appeals or questions what you do, you can have pretty much free reign, but our stuff does get appealed and mm-hmm. it's commonplace. A lot of things we do wind up in LUBA. The Land Use Board of Appeals for the state of Oregon. So that's where it would go. And I mean, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised. And in fact, I would be kind of surprised if this wasn't appealed. You know, I would imagine there were enough people involved and enough folks in the neighborhood that were passionate about it enough that, you know, they'll probably appeal it to LUBA.
Really?
I would imagine. I could be wrong. But, mm-hmm. You know, I work under the assumptions.
On what grounds? I mean, if the law was followed, what are the grounds?
Well, there really doesn't need to be any grounds for something to be appealed.
Okay.
You know, we've had decisions that the city council has made, be appealed to LUBA that really weren't even land actions as soon as it came on the docket or whatever of LUBA, they go, oh, well, no, this isn't even our, this isn't even our deal. You know, okay. Kick this one back.
Okay. So it's so not, you know, likely to get overturned if it goes.
I would hope not. Typically, something that's overturned, it's overturned because of a procedural, some rule or law that we broke, not about, things in the realm of like political will or, mm-hmm. or, you know, community desire or political right. desire. It's nothing right. like that.
Right.
You know, something procedural that we did, you know, it does happen. Mm-hmm. When you talk about a process over a month and a half, a couple months and a couple meetings, 6 hours of probably public meetings. I always work, and I would think, I know a lot of the city staff kind of operates this way too. I mean, when we do these, I do it with the assumption of this being appealed.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's really important. Doesn't matter how long this takes. It doesn't matter if we've got to like pause and wait 10 minutes for somebody to get something. It's going to be done exactly right.
The I's have to be dotted and the T's dotted. Have to be yep. crossed. Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, things happen and people make mistakes, you mm-hmm. know, myself included, and things can be appealed and they can be overturned.
So it sounded to me like the crux of the opinions about not having it there had to do with that it didn't fit into the neighborhood, or that it wasn't going to remain what it was zoned for, or what it was, the conditions that were imposed on it.
So that the change of use, or the use being different than what the proposed use really was, that was an argument, you know, in opposition. But really, what the true argument is, and what people are really upset about, is they don't think this belongs in their neighborhood, or, you know, across their street, or, you know, they don't want it there.
Right.
So, when that happens, and I would do the same thing if something was being built next to my house that I didn't want there, you look for, you know, things that you can start poking holes in, and metaphorically, and, you know, so that yeah. that's when all of a sudden you care if somebody has a 15-foot driveway, or right. you know, I mean, things like that. I doubt that neighborhood really cares about that necessarily. It's just, you know, they don't want this building there. They don't want this there.
Right, right. Well, that's unfortunate because it's going to go there.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, I mean, as of right now, it's that use is allowed for it.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, it's still dependent on the owners wanting to do it.
I saw that some of the comments were that it's a business that, and as a business, it doesn't have a place in that neighborhood. What do you think about that?
Well, as a matter of opinion, and kind of the, you know, it being subjective of whether or not that belongs there. Honestly, if that were next door, if someone built that next door to me, I wouldn't care so much about that one. I honestly wouldn't. But from a legal standpoint, and from my standpoint, when I'm the mayor sitting in that chair, it's okay there. It's okay in that zone. It is okay off of Dawson Track and in that neighborhood. It is a permissible use with conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that sense, well, it does in fact belong there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when the property that is across my fence was up. They were trying to turn it into an Airbnb, which they did, you know, because there really wasn't any good reason why not. You know, it's not my favorite. Right now there are a couple of families over there with very loud children.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also going into the Labor Day weekend, and you know, I can't really begrudge somebody using their property the way they want to use the property, as long as it's not, you know, they're not playing rap music at 2 o'clock in the morning at the, you know, top of the
chart. Right. Yeah. Or, you know, as long as they don't try to rent that house out to, you know, 30 people and, you know, and, right. and all of these things that you would worry about.
Yes.
That if that person is doing that legally and legitimately, and they have a conditional use permit for it, those people have stipulations put on them using it that way. And short-term rentals like that are probably the most common conditional use permits that the Planning Commission deals with. And, it, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of those wind up just as contentious as Dawson Tract, because there's serious concerns there.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, we actually lucked out, because the guy who owns it, you know, I've talked to him several times, and we text back and forth if there's, you know, an issue with the fence or anything like that. And he's a delightful person, and obviously very respectful, and you know, respectful of the neighborhood and everything. So
that's good.
You know,
that makes it easier.
It's great. He's a good neighbor, you know, and that's important. Yeah, I remember when Dollar General was going in, and there was a huge hue and cry about that going in. And there were terrible concerns that, you know, parking and traffic and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't think the concerns really panned out, did they?
No. And, you know, that would be another example of what is it that people really are concerned about. And again, I would likely be no different if it was something in my neighborhood that I was concerned about. But, you know, the concern is that they don't want Dollar General there. That's it. And so, you know, could it cause these other problems like traffic and all, you know, these different concerns? And yeah, after it's been there for a couple few years, it seems to be okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't pan out. And the planning and building codes that the city of Brookings has, and the requirements that we put on a development like that, you know, I mean, they work.
Because I remember that one of the issues was that it was going to be an eyesore. And, you know, the reality is that I don't even see it when I drive past. Clearly it's because it's been there for a while.
But, yeah.
But, you know, if it were painted neon green, there might be a problem. But
right.
Yeah.
But it's right. Yeah. After it's there for a while, you barely notice it.
Yep.
I remember that with the, when that big tower went in behind, City Hall, I remember worrying about, you know, the eyesore that it would be when we approved it, and how we'd see it all the time. And, you know, it goes up, and then, I mean, yeah, it's there when you look at it, but you drive past and it's not really noticeable to me because it's just been there.
Right. So, you know, I'm just curious, because the vote was 3-2. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious why it was 3-2. You know, it's like you weren't all operating on the same standards, or?
No, we were. There is some There's one specific criteria to be met that is a bit subjective. You know, when you start talking about neighborhood impact and adversely impacting the adjoining properties, you know, that's that can be very subjective, right? So you had, you know, a couple counselors that felt that the impact to the neighborhood was adverse and big enough that it in fact didn't belong there. Hmm. And it's a, you know, it's a bad idea and the impact would be too great. Mm-hmm. And I know both of those counselors put just as much thought into it as I did and you know, had all the same information that I had, and I respect them both, and they care about the job that they did that night and went with what they believed to be right. It's interesting though. Let's see, I got to think how to explain this now. It was fairly easy to vote no, just to vote no on the motion, but to actually take action to deny that permit on those grounds, on that number three criteria as far as impact and adversely affecting nearby mm-hmm. properties, mm-hmm. there would, you know, with that action that the council took, that concern would have to be like quantified and qualified. We would have to say what exactly that impact was. And that's a pretty, you know, that would be a pretty tough thing to do.
Yeah, because saying, well, it doesn't look good.
It just doesn't, you know, I don't know. I just don't like it. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? It would be tough.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough thing to deny on. And it's supposed to be tough. And right. it should be if you just disallow something because of your, you know, kind of personal opinion. Or
now, you usually, at least from what I've seen, you usually try pretty hard to get to consensus rather than doing the majority kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The that's something that came with, you know, time on the council and mm-hmm. and obviously, you know, being the mayor is a bit different than a counselor. As a counselor, I think there's a bit more freedom in just pushing hard and advocating for you know, what you want and let the votes come down and right. you know, let it ride. But there's a lot of wisdom in finding consensus and three not being the magic number, not always just counting to three. And there's times when that's all you can do,
right.
when a decision just has to be made and that's all right. you can do.
So I was noticing that there were a couple of people from Dawson Track on your chat last night, and the feelings are running pretty high. I mean, it was, I guess I wasn't really surprised, but I kind of was, because it's not my issue, so I'm not, you know, standing and screaming, you know, right? But the feelings are pretty high. I don't. Do you think that it's going to simmer down, or do you think? Because I mean, it doesn't look like a happy thing for the neighborhood, you know, to be that contentious.
Specifically. You know, the few folks that live on West Cliff Drive that are really adjoining that property. Mm-hmm. Those are the, you know, they're the most impacted. And so they feel the strongest about it. And, you know, I don't know what the timeline is. I hadn't heard when the owners were like hoping to break ground and when they planned on having it up and running. Mm-hmm. It's getting a little late in the year, so I don't know if they'll do it in the spring or what. But
right.
You know, you could have a 4 month, maybe 6 month process of something being built, and people coming to and fro all the time, and things being a a construction zone, which even under quote normal circumstances, that can cause issues
in the neighborhood.
Right?
Very disruptive. Yeah. The dust, the dirt, the noise.
Yeah, it can be. And you have a bunch of people trying to work on this place and they're all driving rigs. So where are they all going to be parked? And, you have this going on with starting with some folks already really, really displeased. So, I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, out of what were there, I want to say there was like 180 signatures on a petition. Don't quote me on that.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So from, all of those 180 people, how many of them are fume and ticked? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, we did hear speakers in opposition that were just bringing a concern forward. They didn't seem as emotionally invested in it. Mm-hmm. And there were other folks. In fact, I got a thank you email from a resident on Dawson that pretty much said, I totally disagree with you, but thanks for hearing us and have a good
that's
day.
Nice.
That's nice. So there's in that neighborhood, that neighborhood's full of good people. And, mm-hmm. there are a handful. I hate to say that because it's like minimizing, it's minimizing the group when I say a handful, but there are people that are incredibly displeased.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a little issue that's over and done with.
Right. On the other hand, you don't always win when you go to City Hall. You just don't. That's not the way,
Yeah. And, I would hope that I could remind people of keeping the proper perspective there, that they're not coming to fight City Hall or winning and losing with City Hall. The issue is between neighbors, and we're supposed to govern that. So that's the problem or the issue or the heartache or, they're doing something that we don't like. That's what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brought inside of City Hall for us to govern.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you hear people talking about wanting less government, mm-hmm. and yet it is government that has to make those calls. We've invested our government with the ability to make those calls.
Yeah.
Out of necessity, right?
And I'm a small government guy myself, man. I love a good government employee joke. I mean, government for me is a necessity, a necessary evil. It's something that we have to have because we don't always play well with each other. We want government when we need them. When we want them, we want them. That's the thing. And when you do something that I don't like, that's when I want government.
Yeah, you want some recourse.
Yeah.
Somebody that'll come in and say, either Candace, you stop doing that, or Jake, go back home. You don't have anything to say here.
Quit touching your microphone.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting though, isn't it? It just is. We've gotten ourselves into camps that are like, I hate government. I love government, and yet those are not actually the positions. It's not about I hate government or I love government. It's we need it when we need it, and when we don't need it, we want to be left alone, basically,
right.
you know?
Right.
So how do you kind of bridge that, right? Because there are some people that think we need it to be paying attention a lot, because there's a lot that needs to be governed. And then mm-hmm. there are people who think that it shouldn't be paying too much attention, because, you know, we want to be able yeah. to do what we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one. I mean, it's balancing. It's
yeah.
a balancing act.
Exactly.
And most of us, myself included, I don't want any more government than what I absolutely have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that means if I don't like my neighbors using burn barrels, then, you know, and if I don't like it enough, then at some point I figure out that I do in fact want government to step in and disallow burn barrels.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. It's a funny human behavior that we all do.
I know. It's really funny. So, any words of advice for any of those people living there that, you know, that they might, I mean, you've certainly seen a lot of this from your time in government. You've seen these kinds of issues. Is there something, you know, a potluck where they get together and actually meet each other? And, you know, I mean,
I would just,
I'm
I would
only
hope
being
that
slightly facetious, but,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's not the craziest idea though. I mean, you know, when a new home or something gets built and you have a neighborhood get together in the new house. So, I mean, I would just hope in time, they can be decent neighbors. Cause who wants to fight with their neighbor? Nobody wants that. None of them want that. So
and
hopefully
it can get so ugly when you're doing that, you know,
it can just get nasty.
Right. And then it wears on you. And,
yeah. It yeah. wears on everybody. It wears
yeah.
on everybody. Right.
Yeah. And you don't want to go home because you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. No fun. Well, you know, talking about divisive issues, we also have two demonstrations coming up this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feel like so talking about that.
Well, sure. So the
deep breath and the top of his head flies off again. Yeah, I
yeah.
know. It's pretty
I know.
Loaded. It's pretty
it's,
loaded.
Well, and I'm concerned because right now we're not living in the days where this is no big deal. That, you know, we've had demonstrations before. They do it. It's no big deal.
Right.
Now the way things are is it might not be a really big deal. Or it could just really, really go bad and be a huge deal. And there's not much distance in between those two.
No.
So the one demonstration, it's not put on by the Curry County Republicans. And I think in my chat I said that it was a Republican demonstration and then a counter Democrat demonstration. Is that what I said in my chat? Do you remember?
I don't actually remember you using okay. those words, but you may have.
Okay. So it's a on the one hand, the demonstration that I looked at the flyer, and it was pretty inclusive for conservative groups or wings or whatever, Republicans, constitutionalists,
Libertarians,
3%ers. 3%ers, yeah, that was the one I was
looking
for.
Women for Trump, bikers for
yeah.
Trump. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, right.
And
That's
then
a big tent. That's a big
yeah.
tent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the counter, I haven't seen any like actual flyer or advertisement from
the counter.
I spoke to the person that she said that she was the one putting it on.
And LaRose.
LaRose, yeah. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
That she's the one doing it?
Yes. She's heading it up. Yeah.
Yeah, heading it up. So I don't know if they have a label that they were putting on that one.
No, it's just a counter demonstration from everything I've been able to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And that probably fits, just all inclusive counter. So, I mean, all of those, all of those, that
the opposite of all of that, right? Whatever that is. Yeah. Which, I mean, it does seem really overly broad to me, but you know, because it seems to me like you could be a Democrat and be conservative. That is a possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There's a lot of those that could intertwine.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting, I use that word too much, interesting, but it is.
Yes.
On the one hand, we're talking about a right and a privilege that most of us hold very dear, in that, you know, demonstrating and protesting and letting your voice be heard and showing it publicly. So to talk about that in any sort of negative light, or to even kind of like maybe cautious, look at it cautiously and advise against it seems
counterintuitive.
Yeah, almost counterintuitive to me. But when things are the way they are right now, and when things get really real, and they have the possibility of getting seriously real, I'm left at a place of hoping for calm and for kind of more wisdom to prevail, and for people to think about how right now isn't necessarily the best time for some things that we have the right to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, for me personally, it is just not worth the possibility of inciting something that I don't want. That's a very real possibility of what might happen. The vast majority of people attending both the first rally and the counter rally, the vast majority of people, I would presume are good people. They're there supporting something that they believe in, or opposing something that they don't believe in. But what that situation can influence to happen is just something really bad that neither side wants. And so that's why I don't go. That's why I won't be there. I would like us all just to think about, is it really worth it? Is it really the best time? Is it really worth it? The chance of something really horrible happening, is that something that you even want to be present for? Is that something that you want to have any part in at all? Even if it just means that you're standing on the same street, you know, on the same sidewalk of where this happened, and you are part of this event where this happened, this horrible thing happened. I don't want to be part of it.
No, I wouldn't want to be there. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't, you know.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you concerned? My concern, because this is what my concern always is about weapons. That's always where my fear goes, is, you know, if somebody's carrying and gets pissed, gets annoyed with somebody. I mean, that's my fear.
Yeah. Weapons are, usually when something really bad happens, there's a weapon involved, right? So,
yeah.
Weapons usually, at the end of the day, are part of the really bad. When I think about it, because you know me, and you know that I could be in that rally and fit in pretty well with some folks. I might not be like as quite as well strapped as they are, but I could fit in there, right?
Right.
So I know them. I know them. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them to be rational, responsible adult people that keep and bear arms, and that's fine.
Right.
I worry about just people making mistakes. People making mistakes when they're put in a situation where maybe they are angry. Maybe it's really just being scared. You know, something happens and they're put in a position where they're afraid for life or limb or whatever it may be. And all of a sudden you have a very normal, reasonable, rational adult that keeps and bears arms or is, you know, whatever, hiding it in their waistband or something. Right. Just something bad happening. You know, because it happens in the blink of an eye, and that's the risk. So risk and reward, you know, what is the reward? What's the objective, and what would it be? What would it look like to actually have mission accomplished there? And is that worth the risk of something really bad happening?
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I have been thinking about it as well. I absolutely would stand or sit, whatever, with the counter protest. Absolutely. You know, I am absolutely for Black Lives Matter and, you know, all of that other stuff. But I can't imagine being caught up in a crowd that just goes south for whatever reason, goes south, mm-hmm. and the person standing or sitting beside me gets killed. Somebody I know, somebody I just was talking to 10 minutes ago, or somebody across the street gets killed. Somebody, again, that I know, even though we weren't just talking, I know that person. That person's part of my community. I don't want them dying. I don't want that happening in Brookings. I don't want that happening in my town.
Right. Right. And there's other horrible things that could happen. I mean, but death, you know, death of somebody would be
pretty awful.
Just,
I mean, I don't know how we come back from something like that.
It's something that would be here forever. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It would really be. It'd be chiseled in granite in the history of Brookings for sure.
And it would color people's perceptions for years to come. And I don't see the point. I don't
either way. And there's other, maybe even more realistic things that could happen that are really just not that I would hate to see. When something like that, when a demonstration or protest, you know, goes sideways, the people that deal with that are some of us also. Okay. Right. And, you know, our cops are us, man. And I don't want them to be put in some position where, you know, there's no good outcome. Mm-mm. when they're trying to keep the peace and govern kind of what's going on. And it's 150 people and everyone's ticked and, you know, half of us got guns and there's crap being thrown. And, you know, that's not what we want for us. We don't want that. Mm-mm. And that can happen. I would feel, I wish that it was only us that were the players, in that it was only our community, you know, participating in anything like this. When you have people come in from out of town, when you have visitors come in that don't know us, they don't they aren't from here. They don't have the roots and they don't have everything at stake that you and I have, because this is our community. If you come over here for the weekend, from, you know, wherever, you're just here for the weekend. You're either going to go to a rally or you're going to go to kind of a counter rally, and you're going to be coming to knock heads with the other side.
Right. Maybe they'll just go to the beach, right? Just go to the beach, people. I mean, if you're coming from the valley, you're hot. So go to the beach. That's where you cool off. No, I agree. You know, it has got so much potential for going so far south so quickly. And then, you know, people who don't live here can just walk away. And
I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. I know, like I said, I know a lot of people that will participate in it, on both, you know, sitting on both sides of the road or whatever,
right?
And a lot of good folks, and hopefully it'll be exactly what they want it to be, and show what they stand for, and mm-hmm. others can show what they stand for, and everybody mm-hmm. goes home afterwards, and mm-hmm. and or goes back to the beach, you know?
I just wish that, I don't know, I just wish that there would be real conversations taking place rather than just kind of demonstrating stands that we've taken, you know, because I find it hard to believe that at the very heart of it, people really are that 180 out on issues, you know. I mean, it's not, nobody actually thinks that all lives don't matter, right? So it's not like you're going to have an opponent to all lives matter, because of course all lives matter. It's the emphasis that apparently Black lives don't matter as much as other lives, because they seem to get killed a lot. So it's not really that there's real disagreement if you get down underneath the rhetoric, I think.
I think there's not much disagreement if you got down past the rhetoric and the social doctrines and the catchphrases and the colors and the labels. Yeah, I mean, you would have to group quite a few of us together before you could find one of us that didn't feel like all lives matter. I mean, really, you know, how I've met some folks in my time in Brookings that I would actually question, that, you know, they seem to think that some lives don't really matter. But most of us do. But we're separated when the rhetoric and the social doctrines and labels and all that comes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough deal. I hope Labor Day, I hope there are a lot of adults out on the streets.
In fact, I hope that's the only thing that's out on the street are adults. But because all it takes is one. That's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
on a personal level, I've never really had the need. Oh, there's our first 4-minute warning. Criminy. Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Real quick. I've never been, I know you have been, so you have an interesting perspective on this. I've never been a big like protest or rally goer. So coming from my perspective, if the Democrats are having a rally or something on the street, you know, signs and stuff, and I drive through town as a Republican, it doesn't really like affect me at all.
Immediately see red.
No, or the other way. What's the objective of putting a Biden sign or a Trump sign or, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. I don't drive by and see it and go, oh, I need a vote for Joe Biden.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I drive by Democrats that have signs. It's neither here nor there to me. Mm-hmm. And same with the Republicans. I mean, I'm out of that. I don't really do that. Mm-hmm. But it's important to some people.
Yes.
To a lot of people.
Yes.
Very, very important.
And, you know, I think that if you feel like you're on the side of truth and justice, which, you know, a lot of us feel like we're on the side of truth and justice, right? We feel like we have to make a stand. We have to say, this is what I stand for. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's crazy to think that people who are on the other side don't also feel like they're on the side of truth and justice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. That first step is coming to that realization.
Right. Yeah. Because I don't think we wake up in the morning saying, oh, I'm going to not be on the side of truth and justice today, because that's who I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So, guess what? We ran out of time again.
Yeah, it happens.
I know. It's amazing. But again, it was a really good conversation. You know, I sort of feel like if you and I can do it, right? I don't know, right?
Oh, I get along with everybody.
Oh, you do not. You do
no, you
not.
Do not.
There were plenty of people on that chat last night who do not get along with you, buddy.
Yeah, I know it. I know.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up because, you know, we got next week and we'll play next week. Thanks. You know, thanks for a great discussion. And just want to remind our listeners that the podcasts of these interviews are up on the KCIW website, kciw.org, under the series Building Bridges. If you have comments or questions, feel free to post them there, or you can email me, candice.michelle@kciw.org. That's Candice, C-A-N-D-I-C-E, @kciw.org. And we'll do our best to answer them. So stay safe, people. Don't get that crazy virus going around. Please don't get it. And don't get into trouble this weekend. We'll see you next week. Right, Jake?
Yes, that's right. Have a good weekend. Don't get any trouble this weekend.
Don't get into trouble. And this is Candice Michelle for Building Bridges. See you next time.